Good evening, everybody. We're very, very happy to be back. And I want to give a heartfelt thanks to this church for giving us the opportunity to do something crazy and irrational. Nobody tried to talk. I think Brent was the only one that tried to talk me out of it. Everybody else said, no, go. I thought, In fact, several people came up to me and they said, you know, you can go, but Judy stays. And I said, no, I understand that completely. But we appreciate the confidence and the willingness for you guys to send us out. We are not the traditional missionary that starts out, you know, with their family and goes to the mission field when they're young and spends 30 or 40 years on the field. I don't know, but looking at Linda, we might have 30 or 40 years left. I don't know. Starting to wonder here. I told Lindell, I said I would appreciate if he preaches my funeral because I know he's still going to be around when I die. But we thank God for your prayers, absolutely, and I think every one of these missionaries could reiterate it that it's impossible without backup. It's impossible without those that are lifting you up in prayer, helping you. We are humble that the support that we get, the prayers, the encouragement, it's just an amazing thing. We hope that, that in a small way we could be worthy of those prayers and that support. Just to give you a quick update of, for those that don't know, what we've been doing and, our goal, Judy and I, was to go to Gdynia and to work with Corey and Magda Riggs and their beautiful family and to be a support and a help, like that armor bearer over there, to start a church in Gdynia. Gdynia has been on Corey's heart for a long time, and it's the next logical city to go to. Actually, a very good step because that means that their kids could still be in the same schools. They could continue. They wouldn't have to uproot everything and move to another city. It's actually very practical. It actually worked out very good because the church in Gdansk has really decided that that this is also their responsibility. In fact, one of the brothers came up to me and he said, you know, it's a real embarrassment that you came to Poland. And I figured he was referring to my Polish. And he was a little bit. But he said, why did you have to come all the way from the United States to do this? This is our backyard. This is our job. This should be our responsibility. It was really cool to hear that and very encouraging. And I think Corey can back it up. They have been a blessing and a help. In fact, some of the brothers right now are taking control of the meetings while we're gone and taking responsibility for that. We are very thankful to be working with Corey and Magda. And I think we're getting to know each other a little better now. I was worried that we went and I would get to know him and then I would find out that, you know, maybe he's a jerk or maybe, or, you know, cause missionaries sometimes have personality disorders, you know, we're not all perfect and, but it has been a real blessing. Corey and Magda, it has been a blessing working with you guys. And I'm sure you guys have had to put a lot of patience in to put up with us and to sit there while we struggle through Polish in an open meeting but we are very thankful. And I want to let you know that two brothers, one in Gdansk and one in Gdynia, have personally asked me to send their greetings. One of them is Jacek, who was here 2 years ago. Many of you got to meet him and know him. He's actually the one doing some of the major preaching right now in Gdynia. And And even Corey's kids that are still there, Kaya and Samuel, have taken their own time. Nobody asked them to do it, but they're taking their own time to make sure they go over there, play the guitar, and help out. And Jacek has said, please tell them thank you very much for what they've done for our city. And Rafael, one of the members of the church there, texted me and asked me to make sure that you let the church in San Antonio know that as they're praying for us, we're also praying for them. And I think that's cool because it's a mutual thing. We're brothers in the Lord. And so continue to pray for Gdynia. You'll hear more of it on Friday night because I am working. I am not technologically advanced, and so I am doing my best to create a video to kind of just give you a little bit of feel of what it's like to be in Gdynia and a little bit of a visual as to what the church is going on so that maybe help you to pray better. If you would turn to the Gospel of John in chapter 9, I would like to speak for a few minutes tonight in the context of evangelism and missions on the Christian work ethic. We're going to start in verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, we have set aside this time for you, Lord, that you could touch us and help us. Lord, we have volunteered ourselves as a church and as many individuals for your work, and yet we find ourselves so powerless, so inadequate, so overwhelmed with the task that you've given us. And yet we also have perfect confidence, Lord, that you sent us, you will provide for us, you will strengthen us, you will give us the things that we need to accomplish this task. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us, Lord, to do that. We put ourselves in your presence, Lord, so that you could prepare us, strengthen us, and help us. And be with this message tonight. Lord, take away my personality and just let your word shine through, your will shine through. And please be with us the rest of this week. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us promises that you would never leave us, that you would never forsake us, that you would be with us till the end of time. And we love you, and we ask, Lord, that you would get all the honor and the glory, not only out of tonight, but out of the rest of this week. And we pray humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The context is a very familiar context, and I'm not going to be necessarily preaching on the context. God took, Jesus took an opportunity of a very tragic situation. A young man, we don't know exactly how old this man was. Apparently he was already reaching adulthood or into adulthood, and he had been blind since birth. And it could have been a very simple medical condition that nowadays may have been treated, you know, very quickly, or it could have been something impossible for anybody to do. But there was a lot of wondering as to, you know, this guy was born blind. Was it a sin? Was it something he did? Was it something his parents did? They were trying to figure out why this happened. And of course, that's a complete other sermon that you could preach as to why, you know, bad things happen, and for us to try to figure out, you know, why we have tragedies and stuff in life. And Jesus, what? He comforted him. He said, no, it's not because of him. It's not because of his parents. He said, this happened so that I could be glorified. This happened so that I could be manifest. And so, and he ended up healing the man, but the words that he spake the things that he said about himself, I think, are real good lessons for us to consider as we come and gather and consider this amazing commission that God has given us to go into all the world. And we'll reread verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, and the night cometh when no man can work. That word work, it's a bad word in some people's vocabularies. We do a lot of things to try to get out of work. And I had workers for many years, and I had some workers that were amazing. They would come to work on time on Monday morning. And if you think that that should be a standard in the construction industry, that's not always the case. You know, there's not always that they're going to show up on time on Monday morning. But you get some guys that just have a really, really good work ethic, and it's a pleasure. It's really enjoyable. And you can take someone like that, even if they don't necessarily have the skills or are more proficient than somebody else. Somebody that simply just shows up is a valuable asset. And you can make money on somebody like that, and then you can train them and you can teach them things and everything. And it's a valuable thing. Also, it is an incredible burden and a pain when you have somebody in your organization that has a very poor work ethic. You can't depend on them. You don't know whether they're going to show up. You don't know whether they're going to be there, whether they're not going to be there, whether they're going to call in sick, or whether they're going to use some sort of an excuse. We had a young man, probably early 30s, and I worked for us at the handyman service for a long time. Too long, in my opinion. We should have fired him a long time ago. But the guy was always giving medical excuses why he couldn't come to work. And finally I told him one day, I said, look, you have plumb run out of body parts. You got no more excuse, you know? You've already used both ankles. You've already used your knees, your back, you know, your other things. And you need to just come to work, you know? Jesus said, I must work. You know, what we've been called to do is, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. It takes a tremendous amount of effort. I've got another message that I stole the title from a Christian author. You're called The Romance and the Reality. The romance and the reality, you know, and so I might preach that one. I don't know. But it's true. There's a big difference between, looking out and, you know, maybe you see a picture of some exotic place and you think, man, it would be amazing to be a missionary and to live or to do that. And then you actually get involved and you realize, oh man, you know, this stinks, you know, there's a lot of effort that goes into this. There's a lot of work that goes into this. You think about something as simple as preaching a message. Preaching a message now, to me, I get a couple of verses. I've read those verses many hundreds of times. I've already know pretty much the context, what they say, what it means, what God is trying to say. So maybe I get a thought or two out of it, and I can put a message together pretty quickly. And sometimes in this church, you are required to get a message together very quickly. Remember, I was sitting there one time, and Trini came up and gave the announcements. I was supposed to give the announcements. I didn't realize it. And then he says, and Brother Brian's going to come bring our message. I'm like, wow, I am? Luckily, Josh Kennel had the singing service this morning, and he had a song that went about a minute longer than normal, so I had an extra minute to prepare. But something as simple as preparing a message in a foreign language. That's a lot of work. Some of you veterans, you know, some of you guys, Corey and Josh and Brent and some of the, you know, maybe you can whip those up pretty quickly. You know, it takes me anywhere from 6 to 12 hours to prepare 3 or 4 minutes worth of speaking, you know? Because number one, you know, I read it in the Polish, I read it in the English, and the Polish doesn't always say the same thing as the English, and that's not heresy, okay? It's not heresy. It just means that sometimes I can't use that verse because the order of the words does not illustrate the point I'm trying to make, and so I have to check every verse. I have to make sure, and then I begin to write things out, and I gotta make sure that the Polish and listen, I repent publicly. I came up here and said, you know, learning Polish should not be an excuse for you not to go to Poland. Oh, it's a very good excuse. It is such a good excuse. Polish, I'm saying this publicly and I'm repenting. Polish is a nightmare. It is absolutely incredible. And I was very encouraged because I learned very quickly how to order a hot dog in Polish. I learned very quickly how to buy my bus ticket in Polish. I learned very quickly how to go to the store, how to do things, how to get along in the city, how to pump my gas, how to do. But to explain the intricacies of dispensationalism in Polish, Corey, I'm sorry. You're going to have to keep that Bible study because it's never going to happen. So it's work. You know, to do anything worthwhile for God, it's going to require an incredible amount of effort.
Amen.
It doesn't just happen. If you're going to decide you're going to be a prayer warrior, you know, maybe the first day everything works out good. You got your cards, your missionary cards all spread out there and then you start checking them off one by one, but it gets old really quickly. And then the drudgery and then the repetition and everything else. And if you don't have a good work ethic, if there's not a mindset that I have to do this, if you think, I might do it. Yeah, you know, where's my wallet? Use it as an illustration. I don't have my wallet. Judy's probably got it. She went to the store today. But, you know, I might give. Let me see what I got in there. You know, let me see what I got. You know, oh yeah, you know, I could probably, you know, that kind of an attitude, you're not going to get anything done. We're not Joel Olsteins and we're not mega churches and I'm telling you, you ought to be blessed to be in a church that doesn't have 700, 900,000, over $1 million, dollars in infrastructure, in mortgage payments and staff and all of these things. No, we try to keep it very simple so that we can keep the emphasis on the gospel. But it does take money. I could show you the numbers. Corey and I get together every month and we split those expenses and we can't meet in the park like they do in what's the country you working at? Mexico. Brother John, right? No, you gotta rent a building and we gotta pay for things and we've gotta do things and our goal, and you can pray for this because this is always the goal, is that at the start we are shelling out everything. We are doing everything in order to keep this going. But our goal is that at some point the Polish men, the Polish women in the church will then support it to where we can begin to back off. And when that point happens, that's really cool. They start taking that, but it takes work. So you gotta work. And I'm sorry, who was it? Matthew? Matthew stood up and just leave your job and come to the meetings. I'm telling you today, please don't leave your job. Please go to work on Monday morning because the work needs workers. And you think, well, you know, all I am is I'm just a plumber here in San Antonio. What? No, I'm telling you what, you are a part of this work.
Yeah, that's true.
It takes work. It takes dedication. It takes a work ethic. Jesus didn't say, I might work the works of him that sent me. I must work the works. I got a list. I'm not going to give the list, but I'll let you take a picture of it, because it'll take too much time away from other things that I want to say. But I've got a bunch of stuff here in Luke where every time where Jesus said, I must. I tell you, the first time he said it was when he was 12 years old. In fact, did you realize that I must are the first public words that Jesus spoke that was written down, that they recorded? I must be about my Father's business. Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? He had this mentality that he had to be about his Father's business. Would to God we had that same sense of responsibility. That I must. I'll go to church if I have time. I'll go to church if I... No, I'm telling you, churches don't succeed with people that show up just every now and then when the Spirit kind of moves them. And I understand there's times when, you know, if you have the flu, if you have COVID, please stay home. You know, we're not talking about coming to church. I got the flu, but I bless God, I'm going to go to church. No, please don't. But I would say, go to church. Oh man, but I got things to do and this. Yeah, I know going to church is a lot of work. Do you know, simply just getting in your car, driving here and sitting down in a seat takes effort, dedication just to do that. And we need some of you to do that. We need some of you to do that. We need some of you to do more than that. We need some of you to decide that I must be part of this work.
Amen.
Local churches just don't spring up by themselves. It takes a lot of work and a lot of effort. And unfortunately, we're try to be nice when I say this, either that or just move on and don't say it at all. But you know what? I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. We are so dysfunctional at times. Do you realize that Judy and I are at the point in our lives, and it's kind of a nice point, where we are opting out of a lot of drama. Seriously. Oh, brother, this and that. Oh, no, you greatly overestimate my interest in that. Right in the place where... I know you're crying, but I don't care. I don't care. Either way it goes, you know, whether you win or she wins or whatever, it just doesn't go. But you know, it does take work for all of us diverse people to get a common goal and to actually work together. Sometimes we can't work together. We can't. I mean, there are issues at times where, you know, Paul and Barnabas, I think they probably could have solved their problems and worked together. and there's evidence that they still cooperated. The work continued to go on. But even with Paul and Barnabas, it takes effort to try to stay unified and to try to stay together. And that happens with a marriage. It happens with friendships, and it happens with local churches. We have to work hard to keep going with each other. We irritate each other. Sometimes we judge each other. Sometimes we look at each other and say, yeah, I'd never do that. Well, bless God, you'd never do that, but maybe you should pray for the other person instead. You know, do you get my point?
Amen.
Anything worthwhile is going to take work and effort and proactive work. This work ethic in business is so important. I think that it ought to be just as important in this task that God's given us to do.
Amen.
Jesus says, I must work. I must work. Wasn't it Paul that said, necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. If I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is given to me. He had this sense of responsibility that even if he didn't want to do it, he had to do it. You know, there are some things that God is calling you as a Christian to do that you in your spirit really don't want to do.
Amen.
But you've got to change your mind. You've got to say, you've got to realize there's a greater goal. There's amazing things happening in this world as a result of this gospel. And God has given us an opportunity to be in on it. You got to change your attitude and say, I must. Because I guarantee when it comes to your job and Monday morning hits, you say, I must go to work because you got bills to pay and you got families to support and you got goals in your life that you would, that require money. And you've got things, so you've got that kind of work ethic. Why don't you apply the same work ethic to the things of the Lord?
Amen.
I must pray. I must get along with my brother.
Yeah.
I must get involved in this. I must give my money. I must support missions. I must pray. I must, you know, send a note. Nowadays, you don't even have to write a letter. You don't have to send a postcard. You can simply get on WhatsApp and send messages and encourage your missionaries. WhatsApp is an amazing thing. My elderly mother, some of you know her, she's visited here before, and she's in a nursing home now, and she felt very isolated for a long time, and I told my brother Ray, I said, give her WhatsApp. And he got her set up on it, taught her how to use it, and all of a sudden her depression's lifted, she's back in touch with her children, she's got pictures coming in, it's an amazing thing. You know, modern technology has made it easy for you to be involved in this work right here.
Amen.
How about getting good Christian work ethic? How about putting that in your language and saying, I must. Because I'll tell you this, you owe it to God.
Amen.
Do you know that you owe God?
Amen.
Everything about Christianity is not free. Yes, God gave you salvation free of charge. Forgave your sins, and if you're just popped in here and you're not a Christian, this is why we're here, because Jesus Christ freely provided a way for us to have the forgiveness of sins and the salvation of the soul. That's free. He doesn't demand a thing. He doesn't demand fancy prayers. The thief on the cross can say, remember me, and Jesus would know exactly what he's thinking and have him in paradise. And Jesus gives that promise to anybody without charge, without any kind of a lifelong commitment or anything. But then once he does that, you realize, wow, do I owe him?
Thank you, Lord.
You got a sense of responsibility, a sense of obligation. That if he's done that for you, doesn't it stand to reason that we should do something for him?
Amen.
There are people that in this church that decided many, many years ago that they were going to go. They are hitting, in fact, we're probably going to have to start a new division in our missions program called the Geriatrics Division. Because they used to run. Now they hobble on canes. They spend time in the hospital. Hey, brother, do you know that we also have a medical mission? We have a ministry in the hospitals in Poland. Judy opened up the doors for us there. Oh, I'm sorry. But I must.
Yes.
I must.
That's good.
I must work.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got the point. But let's expand it a little bit further. I must work the works of Him.
Amen.
You know, it's a blessing when you know what you're supposed to be doing in life. It is a real blessing when you know what you're supposed to be doing. There are a lot of Christians that have no clue what I'm supposed to be doing in this world. I'm thankful that we've gotten some really clear direction as to what we're supposed to be doing. Now, Jesus didn't micromanage it and say, I want you to go to Gdynia, and that for Gdynia, you know, I think that maybe you need to concentrate on maybe some of the central cities. After that, no, he's kind of just like those workers that the king he sent out. He said, you know, occupy till I come. But he didn't micromanage them. He said, occupy, you know, do the work. And God does the same thing to us. He's given us some amazing principles, and we can implement them in all kinds of different ways. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's his commission to us. That means that there are no borders. There are no limitations. That whatever opportunity finds us, that we can go, we can be part of this, we go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we have an incredible opportunity, but we know what we're supposed to be doing. Why are we in Poland, my lovely wife Judy? It's not because we thought it was a beautiful country and we want to go settle down there. No, I'm telling you, if that were our motivation, I bet Judy could agree with me. Exactly. I know where we would be. We would be in Rockport. There are people out in that bay in Rockport on boats fishing for flounder and reds and all kinds of other stuff. And nobody is going out there in a boat and trying to win them to the Lord. If that were our motivation to find a nice place, a beautiful place to retire, but no, you know, the reason why we went to Gdynia is because we've got some coworkers there that we felt could use a little backup. A little bit of help. They're the experts. We're not. I'm not going there to try to change anything or teach anybody anything. I'm going there to just try to make it possible by being there and by trying to be a help. But the goal is to preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
That's the goal. That's why we're here. Do you realize that you can have a part in that amazing thing? I'm appealing to you. If you don't have a part in this work, get involved in this.
Yeah.
Because we need a full team.
Amen.
We run on skeleton crews. We don't need a skeleton crew. We need everybody on board. We need everybody pulling their weight. We need everybody involved somehow in this incredible work. This is what we're called to do. But human nature, interest can wane over time. I remember when you guys were first going out, I got here in 1982. I got saved as a result of two men who decided they needed to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and they decided to go to Fort Sam and try to win some soldiers. I will be ever indebted to those men for that effort, because that's where I heard the gospel and I got saved.
Amen.
And it was, I mean, I could preach a whole separate message just on the blessings of that. But things were exciting at first, you know. I remember being in, I wasn't in that original meeting where, Linda, where you had 10 of your members standing up. He had 10 members stand up, and what did you have, a total of 15 in the church? About 30, okay. I think 10 is a better story, but we won't confuse it with the facts, yeah. But I remember some of the early years, you know. I remember my friend Tony Silva getting, man, I gotta go to Mexico. I remember Marty standing up and said, I don't know anything, but I know I gotta go, you know. people were going, I went down to the mission field to just kind of check things out. And I was like, wow, I never knew that this, I had no clue about missions. I had no clue about evangelism. The only thing I'd ever known was the Catholic Church. And it was an incredible thing. And so people were interested. You know, people were going, we'd come back for conferences, you know, and people would stay all day from 10:30 in the morning. They'd be here at 9:30 and they'd just stay all afternoon. Nobody would go anywhere. The meeting at night, and then we'd move the meeting over to gyms and continue on over there. And I mean, people are excited and moving, and but you know, interest can kind of go away after a time, can't it?
It can.
Things can get old, and everything can lose its luster after a while. You know, work. You know, in the beginning, you're learning new things on your job. You know, you got a new job and you're excited and you're moving up and everything. But then after a while, it's just a job. I hate to disappoint you, but sometimes the work that God has called us to do, it turns into just a job.
That's right.
So you're going to quit because the emotion is no longer there. You're going to quit because the enthusiasm is no longer there. Well, if you do, it's because you have a very poor work ethic, because you're working just for enthusiasm or you're working just for emotions. But there are people that get up and they go to work because they know they have to go to work even if they're not feeling it that day. I don't know. There's nobody in this room that's like this. But do you know some people don't come to church unless they're feeling it? I know none of you. But how about I must? I must. This is what our Lord, this is how He lived His life. There are verses that all these things, I must. He says it in the book of Luke like 8 or 9 times. It uses this phrase, I must. And I think that if we want to be like our Lord, we ought to have that same mentality that I must work the works of Him. So you have a sense of responsibility. You have a sense of obligation. You have a clear understanding of what it is that you're supposed to do. We know what we're supposed to do. We know that we are on this earth to honor Him, to give Him praise, to give Him glory. We know that we are on this earth to tell folks about Him. And I'm telling you, God's not trying to turn us into salesmen. He's not trying to turn this into a sales presentation. But if God has been so amazing to us, and God loves the world, and I'm not talking about in a physical kind of way, then we ought to love the world too. You ought to consider taking this. I know the work is not always as glorious as what it is. Sometimes I think in mission conferences we can represent, we can do things and it just looks amazing, but it's not always glorious. Sometimes it's just work. Right, Corey? Sometimes it's just showing up on the street, passing out your tracts, preaching a message, giving people an opportunity to hear. Nothing really happens, you know. Maybe there's no stellar conversations that day. Maybe, you know, we're all a little tired, but we do what we're supposed to do, and then we pack up and we go home. That's commendable if you do what you're gonna do, even if you're not feeling it. Hey, sometimes you come to church and you're bored. Sometimes you come to church and you fall asleep. I've done that. Sorry. You guys are looking at me with some of the most self-righteous expressions I've seen. You bunch of Pharisees. You don't know that we're up here in this pulpit and we can tell you are struggling. You're like... And I don't know why the mouth opens when the eyes close, but it does, you know? I remember one time they went over there when Matthew was young. Matthew was all backed out on the seat like this, and he had his mouth wide open and had a little bit of drool coming down. And they looked over, and right next to him was his dad. Same thing. They woke me up and they said, "Brother Brian, you were sleeping in church." I said, "Yeah, but at least I was in church." It's your... Oh.
I miss you, boy.
Jesus knew what he was supposed to do.
Yep.
Matthew chapter 18 says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it."
Amen.
You know what Jesus has been doing since he's been on this earth? He's been building his church.
Amen.
You know why I know that this is a worthwhile effort that Corey and I are trying to accomplish in the city of Gdynia? Is because our Lord, our leader, our master, our God has said, "I will build my church."
Amen.
Jesus takes ownership of this. This is his church. This is something that he has come to work to do. This is something that he's calling out a people out of humanity for his name. He's building a body. He's creating a building. He's building his church. And when his church is finished, it's all over. I remember what she preached us the other night. You know, there's going to be a time when God says, "Time's up. We're done. It's finished." We got the certificate of occupancy from the city. It's on the wall. The building is done and can now be used. There'll be a time when our work will be done. It's going to be finished. But right now, God's building his church. You know, God says, "I will build my church." He takes ownership of it. This is his church. But you know something? This is our church too. I got a real blessing. I don't know if you remember this, Corey, but maybe 3 or 4 months ago, we had a meeting in Gdynia. It was an open meeting, and we had the lady from Ukraine that has the sons that are in the army now. I don't remember her name, but she came, she visited, and then we also had that young man that you met in the train station at Maximilian, and he ended up showing up that night. But they both came in right as the meeting was started. So neither one of us could actually stand up, go shake their hand, "Glad you're here," you know, and excuse me, make introductions. And so we waited till the meeting was over. And we had some of our core group, a few men that have started meeting with us. And so after everything was over and after it was done, I looked over at Corey. Corey automatically, his butt was coming up off the seat and he was getting ready to head over. And I was doing the same thing to go shake somebody's hand. I wasn't going to be able to tell him much, but I'd go shake their hand. So we did that, but we never made it over, Corey. I was like, "Corey, check this out." I was watching. We have a gentleman that's been coming, going through some horrible, horrible tribulations with the health of his wife that I can tell sometimes it's a struggle for him just to keep going. He's so overwhelmed, but he got up out of his seat, went over to the lady from Ukraine. Minute later, Bibles were opened and he was talking with her. He was talking with her. And the young man that had come in, we have another young man that's been, he's in his 30s. He's immigrated from Belarus, and his name is Igor. And I saw him, and he had grabbed the other young man, and they were off in a corner talking. Now, they didn't have the Bible open. He had his cell phone. So I'm assuming they were talking about spiritual things. Maybe not. Maybe they were talking about the game. But regardless, the church took responsibility, and they were doing it. I said, "Corey, this is a blessing."
Amen.
This is cool. This is something, it's not something we're trying. The church is starting to get a sense that this is my deal. This is our place. Not only that, but during the winter, remember when Rafael had to go to Holland, we have another church member, and he's a shipbuilder, builds these ships for the oligarchs. And so he had to go to Holland to finish one of the ships that his company was building. And I remember he texted me because he had to be gone a month. And he texted me and said, "Hey, Brian," he said, I got about a week and a half left. He says, "I can't wait to get back to my church."
Amen.
That made me feel good. These are all little small things. They're just little signs, but you know, that's a sign that you've got people that are starting to take ownership, that are starting to feel responsible, that this isn't Corey and Brian's work, you know, that this is my church, this is our church. Wow, I think that's the kind of mentality that we need to have, you know, this is the work that God has called us to do. I don't understand people that can change churches like churches are like Walmart, you know, where they can go to one or they can go to the other, whatever one's the closest. No, this is not just a churches are families. They're organizations. They're living organizations. And God has expressed that He wants to put these local churches in Gdynia, in Gdańsk, in San Antonio, in Torun, in Austin, in Puebla, and Pachuca, and other places that, in fact, all over the world, God wants to put local churches. You know, God's will is that there would be local churches. God's will is that there would be a local expression of His church everywhere, in different places. And you think, you know, we don't really need church. We can just, you know, watch a podcast. No, you need church.
That's right.
You have to have churches. You need them. We need them. Society needs churches.
Amen.
Our society is coming apart at the seams. You all understand and know that. And governments are doing their best to try to legislate the existence of churches out. But I'm sorry, they're fighting a losing battle because our Lord said, "I will build my church."
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what the government of a nation says. When God says, "I will build my church," He builds churches. And,
amen.
And God has the power.
Amen.
That's right.
Wow. It's amazing when you look and see some of the places of greatest persecution and greatest opposition. It's, the church is growing.
Yep.
Yeah, they're burning down their buildings. Yeah, they're killing their pastors. But then they're meeting under trees. They're meeting in houses. They're meeting in different places. The church is going on. There is no government on this earth that can wipe out the church. There is no leader that is going to be powerful enough to destroy the church. Jesus says, "I will build my church." And we're part of that. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. And that gives us a sense also of opportunity. You know, opportunities, they come and they go. Opportunities sometimes come and go very quickly. One day you're 20. You blink. I've heard it from some of the mothers this week. You know, my kids were little. I blinked and they grew up. I always told my kids, I said, you know, enjoy it when you're little kids because you're like puppies, you know. You're all fuzzy and cute and everybody loves a little puppy, you know. Everybody, "Oh, your kids are so cute." But I tell them, I said, "Back up, sons, because all puppies grow up to be dogs." One day you're just going to be another dog under the porch. I don't know why I gave that illustration. It just came to my mind and I thought, you know, it's already there. I just express it. But oh yeah, one day you're young. Then the next thing, opportunity's fading away.
Amen.
It's fading away. I applied for Medicare this week. That's something my grandma is supposed to be doing. Opportunity.
Yep. Yep.
You know what he's trying to tell us? He says the night's coming when no man can work.
Yeah, that's true.
This, a work ethic cannot afford to have the spirit of procrastination.
Amen.
Oh, we can do this, but we'll do it later. We can do this, but we'll do it some other time. And I think some of the others have already talked about it. You know, convenient seasons, you know, taking care of your own comfort, things like this, having these ideas, Lord. I mean, having these ideas and the weakness and needing God's strength for our hands. The night comes when no man can work. Now, in the context, Jesus was talking about his ministry here on earth, that his ministry was going to finish. And while he was in the world, he was going to be the light of the world, but then he's going to be taken out of the world, you know, and then things are going to be different. Things are going to be drastically different after that. Well, the same thing for us. God has given us a window of time, and when that time stops, we're done.
Yes.
We can have application for the universal church that once God is finished, he's finished. And if sometimes you get to thinking, you know, God's delaying his coming, I think I can relax a little bit. You know, he didn't come in 1988, and he didn't come in 1989, and he still hasn't come now. I think I can relax, because he's probably not going to come for a while. You better regroup and rethink, because there is nothing that will block, hinder Jesus from coming back tonight. Do you realize, you've seen it, you've seen this life, you guys went through COVID, you understand how fast things can change. You think, well, man, it would take a generation for a government to have that kind of power here in the United States. It happened in one night because of a little tiny amoeba bug, a little flu bug called COVID. All of a sudden, everything was on lockdown. Do you realize that things can change radically in a minute? Right now, we have opportunity. Right now, we have disposable income. Even the poor of us that has disposable income. We have a tremendous opportunities. We have opportunities for employment. We have opportunities given by technology, you know. We can do things. Used to be that Hudson Taylor would have to get on a ship. 6 months later, he'd be in China. And then, you know, communication back and forth took forever. Now, I can fly to Poland in 18 hours? Now, it took 30 hours for us coming over here because we got delayed in it. But I can go there. I can go. I can buy a plane ticket and I can go over there. You know, we've got tremendous opportunities. There are so many roadblocks that have been taken away, that have been eliminated, that we enjoy now. I'd say let's take advantage of the opportunity that we have been given right now. Man, praise the Lord for some of the things, some of the open doors God's given. Somebody was talking about the internet and YouTube and things like that. I don't understand a lot about any of that. Our church in Gdynia has a YouTube channel, and we also have a Facebook page now, and they have we're making plans to create some podcasts and things like that. And we actually have visitors that came that found us on the internet. Hey, we can't discount that. We can't say, you know what, they didn't have technology in the Bible, so, you know, we can't have technology. No, I'd say, man, let's use anything we can get, anything that will give us an edge, anything that will help us out in doing this work right here. We're not talking about changing doctrines. I think, Matthew, you're right in a lot of ways that we need to be progressive. We need to be thinking, what else can we do while we have opportunity?
Amen. You're right.
Because the night comes when no man can work. Well, I think we've got the point. I think we can read that verse, and we can take the example from Christ. We can take his example. We can take his encouragement. And believe me, he's given us what we need. You need strength, he'll give it. You need wisdom, he said he'd give it. You need help, he'll give help. You need encouragement, God's a good encourager. He will be there with us every step of the way. I would say that this mission conference ought to challenge us. We're not looking back on what we've done. We're looking forward.
Yes, sir.
What's before us? You know, I understand, yeah, 70s, 60s, 50s, we can lament, we can look back and with nostalgia on old time, but listen, the old times are gone, they're never coming back. Whatever's happened yesterday is never going to happen again. It was a one-time deal. We're looking for new things to happen. We're looking for new revivals. We're looking for new things. Hey, how about if people started praying, Lord, do this one more time. Cause a revival in Eastern Europe. Cause a revival to where American missionaries are irrelevant, you know, to where Polish missionaries are starting to go back and forth and cover their, and believe me, there are signs. There are signs. The Poland of today is not the same Poland as way back in when you guys were going back in the dark ages in the early 90s. And believe me, it was, Brent could testify, those were darker days back then. Things are opening up. There's an interest. We talk to young people on the street all the time, people that are interested in there. What are you doing here? What is this? You know, and stopping and asking questions. And I'd say it's on a regular basis that Corey has a group of college students around him. Sometimes I get the opportunity to speak in English, but he's talking and some of them are ridiculing, of course, but there's a real interest there. It seems like something starting to happen. And that there's some cracks. Amen. Hey, let's rush in.
Amen.
Hey, let's not give up now. Let's not. Oh, man, we're tired. We're done. No, God can give strength. Hey, let's move forward. Let's go faster. Let's get that second wind. You know, let's see what God has for us. Let's see what God is. Is it going to be always glorious? No. Is it going to be a lot of work? Yes. Is it going to be worth it in the end? Absolutely.
Amen.
Because you and I know that one day, I have dreams sometimes at night about it, that we're going to stand before throngs. I mean, we're not going to stand, we're going to be in the throngs. Jesus will be standing before the throngs, but there will be so many people that have been redeemed. Igor's going to be there. Rafael's going to be there. You guys are going to be there. People that we thought weren't going to get saved, and all of a sudden they got saved. I got a brother I prayed for years. He finally got saved. He's going to be there. And we're all going to be in this massive group of people. Everyone in unison is going to be praising the Lord, is going to be honoring the Lord, is going to be lifting up the Lord. And all of those have come from individual things like passing out a tract, like taking your neighbor and having a Bible study over some coffee, like befriending somebody and using that as an opportunity, by getting a part of something that you can't have a part and supporting one of these missionaries, or supporting a Bible project, or support or putting money in the church so that they can buy more literature, or doing something, or even getting up and going yourself and doing that all of those people are going to be in that throng. We're going to be singing so loud, and the work's going to be over, and there's not going to be any more work. We're not going to have any more Monday mornings. You're not going to have to get up again. Your bad back is going to be fixed. Your bursitis is going to be gone. Your bills, all the bills are going to be gone. I wish I knew when the Antichrist would come. I'd load up. Man, I would get in such heavy debt and let the Antichrist pay it off. But I can't do that because I don't know when. I don't know. Lord, my delay is coming just to make me pay off my debts. I don't. Oh, but then we'll sing that song.
Amen.
It is worth it all.
Amen.
It's worth it all. When we see those throngs, when we see our Lord, then it's going to be worth it all. Take the opportunity now. Adopt a good Christian work ethic. Decide tonight, not tomorrow, decide tonight, I am going to make a commitment to do everything in my power to forward the gospel of Jesus Christ on this earth and to help build His church. Praise the Lord.
Amen.